Monster Man, Episode 208, Grig and Grim. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're taking a look at two more monsters from the G chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Our first monster for today is the Grig. And a Grig is like a little pixie guy, only he's got grasshopper legs, or maybe cricket legs. I was familiar with the expression, as merry as a Grig, which I think I first ran across in a Patrick O'Brien novel, but it turns out to be a genuine kind of 18th, 19th century expression. Apparently, Grig just means something like small creature, small animal. It may even mean the same thing as cricket, like that may be where cricket comes from. Here's the thing about Grigs. There's nothing wrong with Grigs. Grigs are merry little woodland sprites, and they like to frolic, and they like mischief, and some of them play the fiddle. And a Grig who plays the fiddle has a 25% chance of being able to play, you guessed it, Otto's Irresistible Dance. They like to play and dance in the moonlight, and they hang out with the previously mentioned Atomies, who are little woodland sprites. And for people who like to mainly play and dance and have a good time, they sure do carry a lot of darts with them. That's weird for such a jolly bunch. The entry specifically says that they like jolly fun, and that their idea of jolly fun is, you guessed it, practical jokes that they like to play on people like, say, adventurers. There are two problems with the Grig. Because there's nothing wrong with a little woodland sprite that likes jolly fun, practical jokes, and fiddling. The first problem is a bit of a superficial one, and that is Jim Holloway's illustration here, because the Grig looks horrifying. The grasshopper legs look really frightening, and his cold, dead facial expression, and the fact that he's clutching a dart in his hand to illustrate the fact that Grigs use darts in combat, makes him look like a murderer. So he looks like a grotesque murderer, which is not, I don't think, what they were going for. Which is weird because humorous illustration is one of Jim Holloway's strongest points. Well, I mean, they can't all be winners, I guess. The second is that this is the seventh merry little woodland sprite who likes to play in the woods and have fun that we have seen in Dungeons & Dragons so far. I was inspired to think about this by the list of languages that they speak. It says that they are fluent in the languages of Atomies, Brownies, Pixies, and Sprites. But in addition to the Grig, the Atomy, the Brownie, Pixie, and the Sprite, there's also the Leprechaun and the Bacon. And if you're willing to stretch a point, the Buka, the Kilmulus, and the Snaiad. Now, I am aware that folklore teems with stories of little fellas that live in the woods and like to play practical jokes on people. I mean, we've certainly seen enough variations on the mischievous version of this, like the Germlane. And, you know, there are basically a bunch of other Germlane-like creatures as well. Obviously, we're up to five or six kinds of hag. This is not the first time, but this is, you know, the circumstances under which you're going to have some kind of ghost are much more numerous than the circumstances under which you're going to have a jolly little fellow playing practical jokes on your player characters. It's got to stop. We're only at G. There are just so many wee little woodland men in this game, and they are all ever so slightly mechanically distinct from each other, but let's be realistic. If you run more than one encounter in which jolly little woodland men play hilarious practical jokes on your player characters, your players will stuff you into a bin. That kind of stuff is tolerable maybe once. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the fixation is with discovering that there is another word for a mischievous sprite and deciding that it needs to be a completely distinct mechanical thing, rather than just saying brownies are also known as bacons. At least bacons like can shapeshift. I don't know if that's true in this game, actually. The folkloric bacon can appear in the form of a goat. But this is, I'm begging you for mercy, 36 years ago, Gary Gygax. This has got to stop. There are just all too many little woodland men in this game. And, I've hit my limit. I know I always say that there's nothing wrong with having multiple variants of the same kind of monster, because it's not like you're going to use them all, but there's that, and then there's this. It's too much. I can't take it. And now for a complete reversal, because the Grimm is not all that dissimilar to the Grig, by which I mean that it's another variant of a type of monster that we have seen before. However, I think this one really works. So Grimms are sort of good spirits that can manifest in a number of forms, among which is a large black dog. And I really like this because now we've talked before about the various forms of the large black dog in this game. I mean, we even had a special episode about it. So the devil dog, the hellhound, the hound of ill omen, all of that stuff. But one of the things that I pointed out was that even the hound of ill omen doesn't really express the role that the hound of ill omen does in folklore. It's a bit like the banshee in that respect. The banshee in Dungeons and Dragons kills people with its wailing, but the banshee in folklore prophesies that people are going to die with its wailing. So the Grimm is a good creature. It turns up when evil is about, but it's turning up to warn you that something bad is afoot. But because even if you do know that folklore, you're familiar with the D&D version of the monster, your response will be to be like, uh-oh, that thing's a monster, we'd better try and escape it. So I really like that. Like, in real life, if you saw a giant black dog, you'd be freaked out. And the Grimm will have that effect on people, not because of the, like, supernatural associations of seeing a dog, because this is a supernatural world, they're not going to be that confused by that part, but because they'll assume that it's one of the numerous dangerous giant spectral hounds, when actually, it's one of the ones that's just trying to help. And then when you eventually do run into the monsters, the bad guys, you'll be fighting them for a couple of rounds, and then the Grimm will come running up and help out. I really like that. It's a way of taking a D&D adaptation of a piece of folklore that was changed to make it more interactable, and then turning around and putting a twist on that interpretation to create a version that's more in line with the folklore. And everybody wins. So I really like the Grimm, actually. They look like a threat, but they're warning you of the existence of a threat. And that is a role that things play a lot in folklore and in ghost stories, but for obvious reasons, they don't really do it very much in Dungeons & Dragons, because insofar as we're telling stories, we're telling a different kind of story. So while superficially you could argue that the Grimm is just another version either of the big spooky spectral dog monster or the helpful celestial good monster, I feel like it has a different feel or a different function to both of those, and therefore I feel like it's actually a really worthwhile addition to the game. Now, this has been an uncharacteristically negative episode for me. I try to always have something positive to say about the individual monsters. And I feel like actually, in some ways, this results in a situation that's unfair to the Grig, because there's nothing wrong with the Grig. The Grig itself is fine, apart from that illustration, which is blood-chilling. But it's just that there are so many other things that are functionally exactly like it. And maybe, I don't know, do you feel this way? I always start to worry when those little guys start to show up. Maybe I just have too many bad memories of convention games in particular, where GMs seem to think that it was hilarious to make the player characters the butt of a series of humiliating practical jokes. In general, I don't have a high tolerance for embarrassment humor, which makes living in the United Kingdom challenging, I can tell you. But also, it feels in some way like a betrayal of the ideal, at least, relationship between the player characters and the game master. Maybe that's old-fashioned of me, but that's how I feel about it. Like, these little nuisance monsters, to me at least, seem to be there to induce frustration in the players as much as in the characters. And that's a big no-no. Maybe that's just because, like, frustration is an emotion that I feel and don't enjoy in real life, and I don't know why I would want to replicate it in a fantasy game. But if you're going to have a little mischievous woodland sprite, then the Grig is a fine one, apart from its creepy little grasshopper legs. So that is it for this episode. Please join me next time as we discuss the Gru, Elemental, on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.